If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti. Karen, good morning. Let's talk about federal troops in Chicago and lawsuits that may come. What would be the basis of the suits that are sure to surface here?
Well, there is a law called the Posse Comitatus Law. And basically, it says that you can't use federal military troops to come in and do domestic policing. That's a violation of the Constitution. And it basically says that the federal government has only the powers that are enunciated in the Constitution. The rest of the powers are in the state. So you can't use federal troops in that way unless there's like an insurrection or there's an invasion or something like that that becomes a national issue. And so I think that that's what the basis of the lawsuit is going to be, and it's probably going to be successful in my opinion.
So if it's successful, would the troops then be removed immediately, or would this have to wind through the courts first?
Well, it will be done on an expedited basis for sure, for certain. And I would imagine that the courts and the judges here are poised to get ready to handle it. But the law basically says that they can't do the domestic policing, but they probably don't have the ability to get them removed from the jurisdiction. In L.A., we just had a case that came down yesterday about what happened there, and the court was very, very clear that that was a violation of the Constitution by sending in the National Guard. But the court did not require the troops to leave. They just said you can't do certain domestic policing tasks.
So that California ruling would impact us here in Chicago, wouldn't it?
Well, it would, just from a purpose of, you know, the judges here are probably cognizant of what went on there. But the judges here in Chicago or in Illinois do not have any duty to follow the law in California. They can do what they want on their own, but certainly they're going to look at the decision, they're going to look at the reasoning, and they're going to consider those same arguments.
Let's talk about the Gilgo Beach murder case. A judge will decide today whether a new DNA technology is reliable enough to be used at trial. How will the judge make this decision, do you think?
Well, these hearings are called Daubert hearings or Frey hearings, if your listeners you know, have followed these kind of cases. And what they do is the judge has to decide whether this scientific method is sufficiently reliable to give it to the jury. So they basically have experts come on and say, has the scientific theory been tested? Are there peer reviews and academic publications? What's the error rate in using this technology? And generally, is it accepted in the scientific community? And one of the real common Frey hearings has been the lie detector test. And as most of us know, although it's used in law enforcement, it's not admissible in most states to go to the jury because of its lack of reliability. So that's what the court is going to be considering today.
How is the new technology here different than what's been used?
Well, you know, it's developing like day by day, but this particular, it's called genome sequencing, if I'm saying that right. And basically it looks into the DNA in a different way, and it goes into, in this case, there were some hairs that were found, and they were very degraded because they were old, decades old, and they didn't have any roots. And this genome testing can look at the degraded sample and focus more on some of the patterns. So it's very complicated, but it's definitely more sophisticated than your general DNA testing.
Let's talk a little bit about Nestle firing its CEO over a relationship with a employee. What advice do you have for workers who might be dating a coworker or their boss, Karen?
Well, it's perilous. And, you know, I saw the statistic that over 60% of all workers' relationships, workers have reported a relationship at work, and 85% of all extramarital affairs start in the workplace. So they take those stats to heart. It's perilous because when there's nothing illegal about dating a coworker. You need to look at your policy handbook because it might prohibit it or it might require you to report it to your HR. Why? Because if you're dating a superior and others are watching this and they see that you're dating and maybe getting preferential treatment, both other employees could sue saying this is a quid pro quo hostile work environment. And there's always the problem when people break up. What's going to happen? Is there a retaliation? Is there unrest? Is there discord in the workplace? So these things are all treated very seriously by HR because they result in lawsuits. I would say that if you're having an affair with someone in the workplace, look at your policy handbook, report it if you have to, and then just be as professional as you possibly can with the understanding that one of you might be asked to leave.
I wonder if there's less of that now that more people are working at home. What do you think?
I don't know. Of course, you know, love can be transmitted through the distance, Bob. I mean, I know that maybe you're a little jaded, but love will find a way.
It's the always romantic Chicago trial attorney, Karen Conti. Thank you. Have a good day.